You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope you are having a very, very cool, if possible, Thursday afternoon, because it is steamy out there. I can take the heat, but that humidity gets me every time. Enough about the weather, though. Just a little bit of breaking news. Today, Groundhog Day, Tony Evers version, is now over. The governor announcing that he will not be seeking re-election in 2026. So, fields wide open. I have my personal favorite that I'd like to see run. You might hear about that tomorrow. Might have saved that for a little Ask Maggie, which you can catch tomorrow at 5:30 on this very fine program. But let's hear from the governor himself, Jacob Evers, in his own words.
I'm a science teacher at heart who ended up running for office and winning 5 straight statewide elections. So would I win if I ran the 6th time? Of course, no question about that. But whether I'd win or not has never been part of my calculus about running again. For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a 3rd term. And so it's humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
I'm getting all choked up. I mean, granted, I've had a day, but that is the heart of decency and public service. And so I think we all owe the governor and his family, as he said, like an incredible amount of thanks. I'm sorry, it has been a day. But it is going to be a great day for each and every one of you because of the subject matter this afternoon. I think it is possibly the most important topic right after how do Democrats have a debate about policy without eating themselves alive, which I've talked about a few times on this fine program. But today we're going to be talking about how to save democracy, small d, about system reforms so that we have the government that we deserve. Every single one of us, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, conservatives, independents, so that we can actually see our voices in action. One of the rubrics by which I often suggest that we judge the quality of a democracy is whether or not the things that we widely agree on, we actually see becoming law. And when we don't see that, that means we got a problem. That means they're listening to the billionaires and the 100 millionaires and not people that earn paychecks. If you got a boss, I think your voice should be heard in government. And right now, I don't think they're getting heard much at all. So today is devoted to democracy. And how do we do this better together, as I like to say. First, I've got Nick Ramos, my really, really good friend. He's basically going to be my guest co-host.
Co-pilot.
You
know, you're Maverick. I'm Goose. You know.
Oh, I like that. You know, who's the Iceman? Maybe the Iceman's TR?
Could be TR.
TR Edwards. He's staff counsel at Law Forward. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. Again, we got Nick Ramos and TR kicking us off. Nick, of course, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. TR, my friend and colleague in the fight in the law and in courtrooms. Gentlemen, welcome. First and foremost, talking about redistricting and how legislative district lines get drawn and the imperative to have independent redistricting. Nick, set out the basics for people. What is redistricting? When does it happen? And how does it occur now in the state of Wisconsin?
So I'm sure everyone knows that every 10 years we have this thing called the census where, you know, our federal government is trying to understand just how populations migrate from cities and states to be able to allocate resources, you know, that match the numbers of the folks that are in those states and those cities. And a part of that process in a state like Wisconsin, the legislature, they, through the Constitution, have the power to draw maps based upon, you know, things within the Wisconsin Constitution. And it's based upon those populations. And they're supposed to be fair and balanced and all these things, but we know that over the last decade and change, we've had a group of lawmakers who have chosen to partisan gerrymander, which they have chosen to draw maps that are advantageous to one party exclusively, which means that no matter what, doesn't matter, Maggie, if you run a race in, you know, your district at home, you could be the best candidate since sliced bread, and it doesn't really matter because the game and the cards were already stacked against you before you even got to run from the starting line. And so, you know, folks have been enjoying seats that have been cushy and haven't had to really face any real accountability because they do not have any real competitive races that will ever happen with the maps that were previously drawn. And so now, you know, with the great work of Law Forward, and I'm sure Tiara will talk about that, you know, those guys were on a real crusade to try and deliver some maps through the courts, and which forced, you know, the legislature and the governor to sign a map while the Supreme Court was deliberating on some other maps that might not have been so advantageous to the Republicans that were in the law in the legislature. And
yeah,
now,
they were afraid. They're like, okay, we'll take this one because it might not suck so bad.
Which spanking hurts the least?
Yes.
And we'll take it. And then we'll see if we can go and win on these maps. And so right now we're in a really interesting era where we've seen these maps take effect. We've seen the legislature start to get more balanced because Wisconsin, we're a 50-50 state. I don't care who tells you that we're not. We are. We always are going to be because we're that balanced. And, you know, now we need to get into really intentional because it's a short-term fix.
Yes.
Like right now we're enjoying these maps, but guess what? 2030 is the next census. And guess what? The legislature is still constitutionally the ones that get to draw maps. And until that changes, they can continue to put their thumb on the scale in either direction, Democrats or Republicans.
TR, it is a textbook conflict of interest for a legislator to pick their own voters.
Sure,
remind
thanks.
Folks about the role that Law Forward has played and some of the contours of the legal arguments that undergird this fundamental idea that it should be one person, one vote. And by the way, I'm going to say this. $1, right?
Ideally.
Or billions of dollars should not translate into hundreds of billions of voices, right? One person, one vote. That is the constitutional imperative. Tell us a little bit about it, TR.
Sure. So backing up. So Law Forward, we are a strategic nonpartisan litigation firm based here right in Madison. Our primary focus is on good government. It isn't supporting one party or another or helping them move any particular agenda forward. We just want to make sure that the government that we have works for everybody that exists under it. So that being said, our founding principle in 2020 was really seeing what we could do in the fight against maps that were gerrymandered and rigged to prevent that type of democracy from coming into being. So where we are now and really in that stage of the fight, as Nick alluded to, is really pushing back on what happened a little bit over a decade and a half ago now.
Yeah.
So in 2009, 2010, there became this big focus around the country on this project called Operation Red Map. And what happened in Operation Red Map was there was influence, support directed into state legislative races to put in position certain people who would be willing for the next decade of our country's history. This happened all across the country, Wisconsin being one of those states where it happened, you know, most egregiously. But there were efforts in place to see what they could do to shift how our democracy worked. And as you alluded to, Maggie, focused on creating a system by which the politicians got to select their constituents and by virtue of that, control their to be able to control the legislature in Wisconsin and many states going forward. And that had the effect of allowing them to then create maps under that process that Nick described earlier. So what we've been doing the last couple of years, in particular since 2022, is trying to see what we can do to push back against that. In 2022, we were a participant in the Johnson litigation, which were around the state legislative maps as well as the congressional maps. It resulted in an extremely partisan map in the state legislature, and unfortunately one that continued to entrench the makeup that we had at the time at the congressional level as well. So in Clark, which is the 2023 case, we decided to go after directly what happened around the state legislative maps. Now, we pushed for a challenge around partisan gerrymandering because there was really good evidence that proved and showed that came about in cases that existed before this, that there were efforts made by Republican legislators at the time to take control of our state legislature. And we believed, as you alluded to, Maggie, that that was a violation of people's one person, one vote. In other words, if I am in a certain district, that my vote counts less than somebody who's in another district because of decisions made by people who are supposed to be serving me. We think that's a violation of good government. So we attacked that at the state level. As you mentioned, we had some success there. I am not going to go so far as to say that they were scared of what may have happened if the court had gotten an opportunity to develop a map. But what we do know is that the litigation inspired them to take action and create maps that were more fair.
They were scared.
I was about to say, TR, if you don't want to say it, we'll
Nick
say
and
it.
Nick and I'll say it. We'll go there. TR will be the adult in the room.
Yeah, for
Nick,
real.
Nick and I will just throw all the shade and lob grenades. Okay. So as I always do, folks, if you're just joining us, I've got TR Edwards, one of the lawyers with Law Forward. I've got Nick Ramos with me. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Today is a study. It is a deep dive into how do we save our democracy for everybody. And I mean this, you're listening to me out there, you voted for Donald Trump and you're thinking, I hate you, Maggie Dawn. You're this crazy lefty. What? No, I'm trying to save democracy for you. Nick is trying to save democracy for you. TR and Law Forward, we're trying to save democracy for everybody. And frankly, getting the rich people to go the hell, I have heard enough from rich folks. I just want to hear from regular people, and I want their voices to be reflected in our elected representatives. But gentlemen, you know that I always, always, always bring the receipts. So I have some of the data from the Assembly that goes back a few years. Now we're going to have to take care of a little bit of business, but when we come back on the other side, I'm going to show everybody those receipts. Yep, right here on the radio, it's going to be show and tell. I'm going to prove to you that Republicans were cheating, and if one party can cheat today, another party can cheat tomorrow. Amen. And that's why we need fair maps and independent redistricting committees. We continue this great discussion with Nick Ramos and TR Edwards. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Gotta wait for the drop when it's Paul Simon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are celebrating democracy and talking about how to reform democracy so that everyday Wisconsinites, you and me and your entire family, we actually feel like the people that we elect are working for us and not a billionaire overlord, not special interest, not big oil, not big pharma. I could go on and on. Oh, and also not just working for their own interests. Oh,
what a novel concept that is, Maggie.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some of these reforms, but as I promised, I got to drop the receipts about how truly rigged Wisconsin's legislative maps were. And I'm going to just say this. Is it only a bedrock principle in the United States that we have one person and one vote? We also are supposed to believe in the idea of majority vote. These things run together, of course. And one of the most pernicious and frankly, completely anti-democratic impacts of these stupidly gerrymandered maps, and we still got to fix the congressional ones too, is that it makes people disengage because people feel like, well, it doesn't matter, because my vote has been gerrymandered into a nullity, into a zero, right? Yeah. My voice doesn't count. So people disengage more and more and more. And what I'm going to say to you is gerrymandering means minority rule. It is anti-democratic in that way. And again, if your party does it today, the other party, the other guys can do it, you know, tomorrow, and it's not good for anybody. So the receipts, and then I'm going to ask the gentleman about what independent redistricting committees will look like and how do we make that a reality in Wisconsin. But here are the receipts. In 2008, Democrats, I'm talking assembly here, won 56% of the vote. They got 53% of the seats. So I'm going to just go, I don't like it, but it's least in the margins, right? Okay, I'm going to call rounding error. Okay.
You're rounding up a lot, but yeah.
Yes. In 2010, so this is the census year, Democrats, and that's the midterms, folks, mm-hmm. Okay? Democrats got 42% of the votes cast in all assembly races across the state, and they only got 39% of the seats. Now, if you consider this, and we can see examples of this in our own state's legislature in this last biennial budget debate, we can see it in the House of Representatives and the Senate, where you've got the vice president casting the deciding vote, and you see these razor-thin margins. When you are in the minority, how much you're in the minority in a legislature deeply matters, right? Because then you only need a couple of defectors, and you have a seat at the table. Oh, yeah, that's what just happened in the biennial budget. Okay, so 2010, 42% of the votes, 39% of the seats. That's messed, okay? Just going to say it. And here's the big one. In 2012, Democrats won 53% of all votes cast in all assembly races that year, and they got 39% of the seats. And if you are a person of good faith, even if you're a Republican, you would say, if you're telling the truth with your hand on a Bible, that's messed up.
Not fair, I'll tell you that.
Not supposed to be that way. So how are we going to make sure that that nobody gets cheated out of their vote, that we don't have minority rule? Nick, how are we going to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I mean, we've talked about independent redistricting, and like, let's get more intentional about what in the hell that means. So when thinking about it, right now, as I described before the break, the lawmakers get to ultimately draw the lines, make the choices, all that stuff. But think about it like this. What if we had a commission that was of civilians that were put through a process where it was clear that they were not going to be chiming in partisan grounds, but rather constitutional grounds, and drawing maps based purely on the populations and how they're supposed to be drawn? Like, we've seen states like Michigan and others be able to actually effectively do this, because right now the process, if you keep letting the lawmakers, and you describe this perfectly, the pendulum in politics swings in either direction. And right now, you know, it swung in the Republicans' direction. The Democrats could have gerrymandered the Republicans into oblivion and chose not to. And so now we can't have this tit for tat type political amphitheater. And we're right now, through the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which is my organization, and the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, we're right now taking the time to travel the state and develop a Wisconsin model, a model that is actually by the people, for the people. And whether or not the lawmakers want to actually take this up and take it seriously, I think the Republicans know that if things continue to be this way, then guess what? That pendulum is about to swing hard against them in a way that they may not get to see leadership or the type of majorities that they've enjoyed for a long time. And the Democrats are thinking about like all these other things too. And it's like, we need to make sure it's a fair process.
For everybody.
For everyone. I don't care how you vote, but we deserve to all be represented equally. And our vote should matter at the end of the day.
All votes should matter. And TR, let me ask you this. We got just over a minute. How do we make this happen in Wisconsin? How do we get to independent redistricting committees?
Sure. So there's two ways. One, we probably will need some type of legislative action. But short of that, there's actions like the one we just filed in state court Dane County Circuit Court just a couple of weeks ago. So as you mentioned, there was also the congressional maps that were gerrymandered in their own way. But they were actually gerrymandered in a slightly different way. They were made to be anti-competitive with large disparities in what the actual election results would be, which led to a less responsive government. So legislative action on top of litigation can hopefully create that thin, narrow path that we can have to have the type of government and responsive government that we're looking for.
That we deserve. TR, you're deserve. Welcome to stick around. We got two experts on this from the Campaign Legal Center out of Washington, D.C., their senior legal counsel and their vice president and general counsel. We're going to talk a little ethics and corruption and fixing this democracy for everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day that is about democracy. Small d. And don't go, oh, they're talking about this highfalutin. No. We're going to talk about real reforms to make sure that our democracy, our local governments, to our state governments, and certainly at the federal level, actually are working for you. And yes, you, I'm talking to you Republicans as well. It should work for everybody. And that means that our voices actually have to matter to elected officials. We're going to talk about corruption as well. We got two new special guests joining us. I'm going to bring them on in just a second. But my friend T.R. Edwards of Law Forward, you were trying to make a complete thought before we had to rush to break. So, sir, I know you got to go very shortly, but I'll give you the floor. I want you to get your entire thought out there.
Okay, sure. So at baseline, in a 50-50 state, it really doesn't make sense, frankly, that 75% of our seats in the House of Representatives are controlled by one party. But getting beyond that, right, there was an entrenchment that happened in 2011. So going back a bit, there was an entrenchment that happened back then. That we believe represents an anti-competitive gerrymander. So even beyond the partisan aspect of it, which is egregious in its own way, the idea of creating a system where not only are the seats partisan gerrymandered, but even within the districts themselves, there's almost no ability for someone from the other party to have any say in who actually gets elected. That leads to greater polarization. It leads to, as Maggie said earlier, people who are less engaged and active in our democracy, because again, why would I participate? Particularly if I have an idea that's outside of the mainstream, why would I participate in a political sphere that doesn't actually embrace me? So we also found through our research that the median, so this is half or more than this, over 30% difference in the actual election. So whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, there's a 30% margin that you win by in our state elections, in our congressional elections since 2011. So that gives you an idea of kind of how you can lead to this fracture and fissure that leads to people being less engaged. So with that, we filed a suit in the Dane County Circuit Court called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy versus WEC, where we're challenging the makeup of our maps as an anti-competitive gerrymander. So while we do believe there may be aspects of a partisan gerrymander as well, something distinct happened, especially compared to the process that our state legislative maps took, where there was a specific and intentional effort to actually create less competition and make sure that the incumbents were protected in that most recent election. And then in 2022, under the least change framework, when new maps were adopted, even though they were governor's maps, because they were under that least change, which is now gone bye-bye, because they were under that least change, they carried forward a lot of that intent from 2011. And now we're
that at anti-competitiveness. Right to change that. And this is, listen, I threw a little bit of shade last week at a state elected official in Wisconsin, because my question was, hey, you run in a royal blue district every year, or excuse me, every, I forget what the what's the Senate them. Cycle?
Oh, it's four for the Senate.
You run in a royal blue district. Don't come out here and give me the like progressive talking points and go, oh, this is doable. You have no downside risk. That is absurd. TR, I know you got to go. My friend, say hello to your beautiful wife for me. You take care. I will see you soon. Thank you for fighting for democracy. Folks, if you're just joining us today, is how we are going to save our democracy. I got Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with me, and we are very pleased to bring on Cedric Payne, the vice president of the Campaign Legal Center, and Elizabeth Schimmick, the senior legal counsel, also with the Campaign Legal Center. Welcome to you both. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to just jump right on in, Cedric. The Supreme Court has told us that money equals speech, which every regular American that earns a paycheck, right, and doesn't have a trust fund knows is garbage. How do we fix that problem?
You're right to start right there, because that's one of the biggest problems we have. If everyone thinks that they can contribute to an election the same way they can talk about it, then you think there's an unlimited amount of money that you can give to the system. But we are seeing that that concept just does not work. And Beth works on this as the expert who deals with this most often. So I turn it over to her to talk about this big problem that we're having.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's truly so good to be here, Maggie and Nick. As we've already mentioned a little bit, Citizens United, I think a lot of people are familiar with, really opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate spending in our elections, led to the creation of super PACs, where, you know, here in Wisconsin, I live and work out of Sun Prairie, so I get all the same ads that you guys do every election season. When Citizens United kind of opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate money, unlimited big spending, it created a lot of problems, particularly around transparency, where we have all of these dark money, secret spending outfits, these wealthy special interests that are really trying to influence people's votes without actually disclosing where their money comes from or what their interests are. And there are a lot of really interesting solutions that different states are experimenting with. Certainly happy to get into that if you guys have questions. But it has really become the theme of elections in the US and in the states individually, where I think the Brennan Center did some research and saw that last cycle we reached a record high of $1.9 billion spent just on federal elections when it comes to that independent spending. That's not even looking at state by state.
Imagine all the badger care that could buy. You know what I'm saying?
Or
little emergency food assistance. I'm sorry, Beth, I interrupted you. Please continue.
No. It's true. When you look at the amount of spending that's happening, I think a lot of people look at that and think, what else could we be doing with that money? And really, who is served by all of this spending that's happening? You know, who really benefits from our airwaves just being flooded with these billions of dollars of ads every 2 to 4 years? It's incessant. But that's where, you know, a lot of states are looking at different kinds of reforms that help to, you know, make sure voters have their right to know who's spending to influence them. That's actually a different part of Citizens United, was the court saying in an 8-1 part of the decisions, that's 8 justices agreed, a pretty rare thing these days, that even if corporate interests have a right to speak, have the right to spend as much as they want, voters also have a First Amendment right to know who is spending. And people, you know, dark money doesn't have to be dark. And that's where states like Arizona are really taking the lead. Prop 211, which passed in 2022,
yes,
that's the Voters Right to Know Act is the actual official title. They looked at the system where, you know, in most states, when you have these big money groups spending, you might see, you know, paid for by Americans for America. And then when they file their report.
I'm sorry, it's like the what of the what? Like, we're good people, Inc. You have no idea.
Yeah, it's these names that mean nothing to the average person. And you can go and look at their reports and they might say, you know, here are our immediate donors. Like, it's Corporation C, Pass-Through, LLC B, and a couple of individuals. But that doesn't give us a lot of information about where that money's coming from, particularly when we know that sophisticated, wealthy special interests are using different shell games to hide that. So what Arizona did is they passed this innovative new law, the Voters' Right to Know Act. 72% of Arizonans in purple Arizona passed that law, which I think is really speaks to the interest people have in daylight in our campaign finance system. So anyway, Arizona passed this. And what it does is it doesn't just look at the immediate donors. It looks at the chain of donations. So say if I, wealthy special interest, public interest lawyer, had $1 million and I don't like armadillos in Arizona, I might, you know, seed my funding through this group and that group, a little bit here, a little bit there, with the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that I want it all to end up in Arizona to spend on the Exterminate Armadillos Act. That wouldn't have been known before, but with Prop 211, it looks at these big sources of election spending and it says, you know, if you're going to spend this big money in our state, you have to reveal not just the immediate donor, but look at all the people that these big amounts of money pass through and aggregate it all the way to the back and file a report so people can know that this wasn't funded by Arizonans. This wasn't, you know, based on our interests in, you know, the state of Arizona. It was based on Beth Shimmick in Wisconsin, who just really hates armadillos.
Well, we've got, and that we've really got, you know, turns the Elon the money and the and yeah. the loop and the loophole in Wisconsin law, which was done under Governor Walker and the GOP-controlled legislature, where unlimited money can be given to the parties within the state.
Yep.
Which again, just another loophole. So you got dark money, and then you just dump it all into the parties, and they spend it. Nick, I know you had a question for
us. And Beth, you know, I want to again. I mean, we get the opportunity to speak to an expert like you, so I'm very grateful. And one of the things I'm thinking about is we're coming off the heels of this record spending Supreme Court race where it was over $100 million. And we're talking about the solutions, but why are we here in this situation right now? I mean, like, I think Maggie was starting to allude to some of the, you know, loopholes and things, but like, I want to just give folks out there that might not be so in tune, you know, a little bit of the landscape as to why it's the Wild West when it comes to campaign finance. And then, you know, when we get time talking about what are some real solutions that could be applied to Wisconsin to try and fix this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start with kind of why we're here when it comes to our Supreme Court races. So I think a lot of people are already aware, but maybe in the current election cycle, it doesn't feel that way. Wisconsin's judicial races are nonpartisan races. They're not supposed to be about party. They're supposed to be about the principles of people who we are electing to interpret our laws, to hand down justice in our state.
Because judges have to be impartial.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that becomes a question when, you know, we see Citizens United made it possible for people to spend all this money independently. What does that mean in the context of our elections? I think when we see all this big money coming in, when we see political parties picking favorites, it raises a lot of questions for people in Wisconsin about, you know, can my judge, my justice, really provide unbiased justice when someone who might have a case come before them was able to spend a bunch of money to support their campaign, and that's known. So Wisconsin actually did at one point have one of my favorite solutions when we look at this kind of issue in judicial races. In 2009, we actually had a public campaign financing program for our judges. Now that was repealed in 2011, but the way public campaign financing works is candidates can opt in and they receive government money. There are a lot of different models, but for judges, typically it's just a lump sum of government money based on a certain amount of support.
It's so important.
I can come back
and
to
that,
this.
Yeah, and that model has been used successfully in many other countries.
Yes.
And also, and how about this states. One? This is another good one. Limit the window in which the money can be spent.
Wow.
If there's any of it, right? Wow. Like, ooh, less campaigning? I think we'd all sign up for that. When we come back, we're going to talk corruption with Cedric Payne, more about reforms with Elizabeth Shimek, both of the campaign legal center, and of course, my friend Nick Ramos. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It is Thursday, and we're busy saving democracy right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Got a great co-host with me this afternoon. His name is Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We are privileged to be joined by two friends and allies in our fight to save democracy for everybody and to root out corruption wherever it may be. We have Cedric Payne, vice president of the Campaign Legal Center, as well as his counsel, Elizabeth Shimek, also of the Campaign Legal Center. Elizabeth was describing a couple of reforms to try to target dark money. So while the Supreme Court has said that money is speech, what they did say very clearly is that we, the citizenry, have a right to know who's doing all that speaking with their dollars, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so transparency laws. Now, my preference would be to ban entities from spending any money. We can't do that.
Be nice.
But at least we can start with the transparency. We also talked about public funding of campaigns. That works really well in some states. It works extremely well in Britain, in the United Kingdom. We talked about limiting the window where money can be spent on advertising related to campaigns. In other words, shortening campaigns. Do I hear you all screaming yes at your radio? We could all do with a little bit less of that.
Less mailers, yes. Less texts, less calls.
Less door knocking, less door knocking. But one of the things that concerns or should concern all of us when we're talking about the dark money problem that already exists in this country is doubling down on dark money in politics through cryptocurrency. Now, next week, Thursday, our entire show is going to be all about crypto. So mark your calendars. Don't miss that. But Kedrick Payne, explain. Congress just had a hearing 2 weeks ago about crypto. We'll get into the direct corruption in a second. But doesn't crypto pose an even nastier? It's sort of doubling down on dark money because it's not transparent.
That's right. Crypto has so many possible problems with it when it comes to government. You have the one level with where the money that goes to these crypto companies is basically being converted into using to gaining political power. So these crypto companies and the executives are spending so much money to elect officials who will support their industry right at the same time when it is being regulated or deregulated by the government. And you see them doing this not only in the executive branch with buying favor with the new administration, but also with Congress. So it's just a situation where you don't know where this money is coming from, but you see how it's being used and used to promote the industry.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to discuss, is this a security or is it subject to regulation at all? Like, don't forget, they tried to sneak into the big brutal bill, a 10-year moratorium on states regulating crypto. MTG didn't even know about that part before she voted for it. I digress. Kedrick, I want to ask a follow-up question because crypto, I can see it as a force for good in certain circumstances, access to financial markets, those kinds of things. But I am so deeply concerned about the idea that, you know, if a president wanted to issue a meme coin, people could, you know, and maybe a governor does or a mayor or Nick over here when he decides to run for office, heaven please, that someone, a foreign government or a bad actor or a member of ISIS or what, pick your villain, could try to literally buy an elected official literally by buying their meme coin. Am I imagining this?
No, you're not imagining it. And the most shocking thing is that there was a recent poll that showed that a large majority of people in the U.S. don't really even care about the fact that the president is using this meme coin to, it looks like, just gain his own personal wealth. And it may be because people don't even understand what it is. Because first you have to explain what's a meme coin. Then you have to try to explain what's crypto. And we see in the meantime, while people in the general public are trying to figure out what it is, the industry itself is very sophisticated and is able to buy this political power, influence in ways that could have consequences for years to come.
Yeah, that is so scary to me. Again, we've got a crypto expert joining us next Thursday. We're then going to talk to a crypto ethics expert for the second half of that program. And I just want to say this. A meme coin is supposed to be a toy, okay? So let's just call it Monopoly money. It's supposed to just be kind of dumb. Just this silly thing, and you buy it because you think it's cool. Okay, so yeah, we're going to call it, like, I don't know, Pokemon Go. Pick your toy, right? But imagine that toy is owned by the president, and we can never know who's paying him for the Pokemon Go or the Monopoly money or how much they're giving him. That's the problem. I mean, we can talk about the Emoluments Clause all you want, but that doesn't make a hill of beans difference if this meme coin that Trump put out before he was elected, oh, and one for his wife too, and then he sold dinner with him through the meme coin. Since when did all of America go, you know what? Purchasing access to elected officials is completely fine. That'll root out the corruption right quick. So, Kedrick, we've got just a little bit, about a minute left. I want to ask you this. If there was one thing, and it doesn't have to be about crypto, but if there was one corruption problem that you would suggest voters talk to their elected officials about, what would it be?
It has to be the congressional stock trading problem, because that's something that your official can commit to with you, with the constituents. They can say, with or without the law, I'm not going to trade stock in individual companies. And we see how big the problem is, which is in the past few weeks when the tariff announcements made the market so volatile, the amount of trading was enormous, and it needs to stop by members of Congress.
Kedrick, will you come back and join me, Elizabeth, as well, and we will dig into more of this corruption, because I really appreciate your expertise that you bring to the program. That was Kedrick Payne of the Campaign Campaign Legal Center and Elizabeth Shimek. You're going to want to stay tuned, folks. Nick stays with me. We've got a panel of experts, including Professor Michael Wagner and Christy McGivalry, of Voters Not Politicians, because that's what it's all about. We're reclaiming democracy here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.